Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you're here as in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
What is going on, Notre Dame fans? Mike Singer, Tim Hyde. It's live on a Wednesday night. Hope everyone is doing well with us. Appreciate you all. If you're watching us in the morning, afternoon, evening, if you're listening via podcast, whenever it is, we just are thankful that you made us part of your day here at Blue and Gold. We have so much to talk about, Tim. Today was a big news day. I mean, really, ever since, Sunday? We had a few days late last week where it's quiet, and then it's been kind of hectic here since Sunday. Do you remember when, Howard Cross announced that he was coming back? That feels like ages ago, Mr. Hyde.
Yeah, what was that, 48 hours ago?
It was on Sunday, but it feels like...
Okay. Seriously, Mike, I have no idea. I mean, when's the Sun Bowl? What day is that? I don't even know what day that is. So for crying out loud.
29th. We got 16 days.
Okay. All right. Good to go. Yeah, exactly. We got to get through Christmas and all that stuff first. But no, it's wild. It's the calendar. It's what the NCAA is. Heck, Mike, you're going to love this. I was just reading earlier as I was relaxing for a few minutes. There's a huge lawsuit going through right now about just letting kids do whatever they want, transfer whenever they want. There's a couple of the big presidents are trying to fight it. There's a stay right now in one of the huge federal courts just to be like, open it up. So who knows what the heck's going to happen. But, hey, let's have some fun. Let's talk Notre Dame football and about 48,000 things we got to chat about, right?
So yes. Okay. So let me go first to one of those 48,000 things. How about Cam Hart? Announcing that this was just a few minutes ago. This was not a surprise at all. But Cam Hart announces that he's entering the NFL draft. Talented player, Tim. Yeah, this is no surprise here. I mean, he was a part of that 2019 class. This was his fifth season at Notre Dame. Yeah, no surprise here.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's crazy. Look at probably the two best DBs this year came to Notre Dame as wide receivers. And Cam Hart and Xavier Watts. Yeah. How crazy is that? So, he's unbelievable. I was talking to someone just a couple of weeks ago, like he was a luxury this year. He was going pro last year until he got dinged up in the Boston College game, I believe, and knocked him out for the rest of the year bowl game. He couldn't, rehab in time for the NFL draft, came back, had a heck of a season. So team captain, he's one of those guys, his skill level, his length, height, speed, you put the 12 measurables of a corner. He's all of them. It's going to just be his little shoulder. How does that thing heal? Very, very smart move of just not playing in the bowl game. It's not worth it. So just go get yourself healthy. And hopefully he's right around that third round draft choice, maybe even sneaks up a little higher if a team says, hey, we could get 4 or 5 years out of this guy. So he's a heck of a corner. So congrats to him. Great, really, really great Notre Dame coverage career. He's been unbelievable.
Yeah. Folks, please hit the thumbs up on this video. Subscribe to the channel. Of course, if you are new here, if you're listening via podcast, I appreciate you as well. Please please leave us a kind review wherever you are listening to this if you have not done that. And of course, blueandgold.com is your home for all things Notre Dame football and recruiting coverage. Special offer for you guys is if you are a new subscriber, $1 will get you 2 months of access. So think about that. That's the rest of this month, all of January, and half of February. So $1 for 2 months using the promo code UND1, the letter UND1. So please check that out. Tim Hyde probably posts on the message board and commenting in threads and reacting to news just as much as I do, if not more. So if you like Tim on the YouTube shows, you can you know, get Tim Hyde during your work day as Tim is probably getting distracted, you know, by Notre Dame news just like you are, and you know, want to get away for a little bit. So yeah, please join us at blueandgold.com. Yeah, we have really a lot to cover. So this is something that popped up. This is kind of fascinating. We're going to start with some quarterback talk here, and then we're going to bring on Tyler Horka later in the show and end with more quarterback talk. How about this? Pete Thamel reported, and I'm not going to lie, I was pretty ticked when I saw Pete tweet this because I really was close to breaking this news myself, but it's fine. Pete Thamel reporting Drew Pine is returning to Notre Dame as a student. So here's a picture that was tweeted out by Notre Dame TV of four people. You have Sam Hartman and Tyler Buckner, right? Those are obvious. And the person, this Notre Dame TV account, tweeted former QB Tyler Buckner spotted at Eddy Street with Sam Hartman yesterday. But what people didn't realize at the time, but I knew, was that Steve Angeli. I mean, that's not a shocker in the green hoodie there. How about that's Drew Pine next to Steve Angeli? And they're just, what is that, Chipotle? Or they're just at any establishment. And you have Sam Hartman, Tyler Buckner, Steve Angeli, and Drew Pine sitting at the table. I want to know what they were talking about. To just be a fly on the wall for that conversation. Hartman's obviously leaving, but Tyler Buckner, we believe, is coming back as a lacrosse player. Drew Pine's going to spend the semester to get his degree from Notre Dame in the summer, so he's not transferring anywhere but Notre Dame for this spring semester, and then he'll pick his new school. He has 3 years of eligibility left, Tim, so he'll be a seven-year guy potentially. I don't know how exactly that works, but that is wild to me. 7 years of college football, apparently he can do. We'll see. Yeah, again, I wish I could have, you know, been a fly on the wall for that. So yeah, Drew Pine coming back to Notre Dame, Tyler Buckner. It's, man, it's like it's 2021 all over again.
Exactly.
We don't expect these guys to be on the football team for what it's worth.
Yeah. Yeah. I just saw that real quick about, you know, Pine. I thought that was interesting that, he's coming back to get his degree. Well, I think he's, a dozen units short, so a handful of classes short, come back, get his degree, move on. Yeah, the 7 years. See, he's got the COVID, still doesn't count, and he still has, you know, a couple of red shirts that he hasn't used. So he'll have to get a waiver, but, Mike, waivers are a dime a dozen these days. So there's plenty of guys playing seven. Heck, you covered a guy, I thought you said, at Oregon State who just finished his seventh or eighth year going back. Or, you know, I don't know. But there's somebody like that. There's a handful. So if he gets a seventh, it's going to be his second redshirt, which he had this year. So we'll see what happens. But, hey, wish him luck. I know Buckner's coming back to play lacrosse. I'm really looking forward to watching some lacrosse because I've watched some of his highlights that were posted. That dude was legit at lacrosse. So that's going to be interesting to see what happens from there. But, hey, come back at the ND degree. Life moves on. You know, I wish him nothing but the best.
Yeah. So there you go. Tim Hyde, very just Tim Hyde like. Just come on, no hot takes, nothing too crazy. You just gonna give me some good coach speak, Tim?
Yeah, what is there to say? There's not. I mean,
I'm just giving you crap.
I know. I'm just like, there's, you know, it's just a different world, man. It's like there's nothing shocking anymore. Seriously, it is just numb to it all. Just go out there, you know. It's
Tim.
You know, here they are leaving because obviously, I mean, telling you, man, I would love to, you know, if you want to be a fly on the wall, Mike, the fly on the wall is the Wednesday after USC in 2022. What went on in that room? Because 48 hours, Pine leaves. Then obviously Buckner goes through spring. Hartman comes. Buckner transfers. The Hartman, you know, season. And Jelly's just sticking around like, what the heck's going on here, man? You know, he's like, what? You know, he's just like enjoying life. That's the meeting I want to be in, is that Freeman just says, I'm getting a transfer. You guys basically free to do what you want. And the rest is history, man. That meeting, you know, has really set the tone for a lot of things in the last year. But, yeah, I mean, that's wild. That's Pine, because there was rumors that was Riley Leonard going on. I remember seeing it. I was like, God, that doesn't look like – not that I know the back of Leonard's head, but you just see a picture of Riley and didn't look like it. So, you know, it was Drew Pine. They're all hanging out together. So hopefully Hartman fit the bill. So,
Andrew Gilmore, thanks for the five, brother. I mean, Tim, I was messaging with someone today that's in this business with me, and I was like, the thing that people don't understand in this line of work is, like, when you wake up, you literally have no idea what is going to happen that day. It's just a very crazy, crazy world. I mean, again, just the Hartman, Buckner, and Jelly Pine dinner in December of 2023, all at Notre Dame. Who would have thought that? So,
hey, the most shocking thing, Mike, is Sam Hartman still on campus. So that's the most shocking thing. I thought he would have packed up and been gone by now. So that, believe it or not, that was my first thought when I saw the picture. I'm like, Sam Hartman's still in South Bend. What's he doing there? Right. So it's not like he's got three classes to finish up. So,
right.
Yeah. I mean, come on. That's, you know, that's the bigger storyline. What's he doing in South Bend still? But who knows?
Okay. So we did the video, Tim, when Riley Leonard announced his commitment. I think we recorded that on Sunday or Saturday or something. I don't remember. But yeah, we posted that video. So folks, if you missed our breakdown of Riley Leonard, Notre Dame's new quarterback, you can check that video. We actually had some film on it as well. So you can check that out. But yeah, as this week has gone on, and you probably watched like 8 hours of film knowing Tim Hyde, you have three kids, a wife, a full-time job. I don't know how you have time to watch all the film that you do, Tim, and respond on the message board and do this show. And I call Tim. I'm like, hey, can you do a video with me in 2 minutes? He says, yes. And then we record a commitment video or something. So, Tim, you're great. But, yeah, any other thoughts on Riley Leonard as you've reflected after, you know, a couple days here?
I rewatched the Notre Dame game, believe it or not, Mike, last night. So I just watched Notre Dame's defense versus Riley. So dude's an athlete, man. And I just hope they let him do some of the things that he is good at. And that's going back to my comment I made about a month ago about Sam Hartman. Like, these guys watch film because there's things that Sam Hartman was really good at Wake. They never did at Notre Dame, which is still shocking to me. And then with Riley, I hope they let him run around. I hope they build some stuff. I hope they, you know, run pass option, RPO, the living heck out of some things. He's got an awesome arm, quick release. And, man, there's a lot of positives. There's a lot of positives. And just really excited to see him, you know, get to South Bend and see what type of offense it is. You know me, I'm still a wide receiver guy. I'm all about wide receivers. And if they could get some wide receivers to make teams back off the run game, give Riley a little bit of room in that pocket to run around and cause havoc, yeah, they could be a very dynamic offense. He's got a really good arm, but man, the dude's a competitor. The guy can, you know, when I say run, it's not just running ISOs, quarterback ISOs. It's his movement in the pocket. And when he took off one time, he's just stiff-armed Benjamin Morrison, like, get the hell out of my way. Made him look like a 12-year-old kid in the Duke game. Just boom, punked him. And, you know, he's a stud. He had some really, really good football plays in that game. Handful of his incompletions were just – Notre Dame's one of the premier defenses. Making plays in that game is really what it was. That's why his stats – passing stats were a little skewed, but Notre Dame did that to everybody this year when it came to defense. And You know what, Mike? He's electric. I'm just still wanting to see how this wide receiver room pans out. Who's going to play where? And how, you know, are they going to be a true three wide offense, a true 11 personnel type of offense just to create some space for quarterbacks? I'm just a fan of watching quarterbacks run around and cause havoc. It is a different brand of offense when you could do that.
Yeah, I think several years ago, the sentiment with receivers is more it's the icing on the cake. Like your cake is more your offense line and quarterbacks and receivers. Like, yeah, the receivers are everywhere, but now it's, I feel like just the way the game has trended, it's not like that anymore. If anything, like the running back is the icing on the cake. Yeah, you want an elite running back, but if you have a hole, you know, the size of Massachusetts or something, then, you know, anyone can run through that. So,
I'm a big, look who the Heisman finalists were. They all, those three quarterbacks had stacked wide receiver rooms. Stacked. Those dudes would just throw it up and go make plays. I mean, Oregon had All-American wide receiver, Washington All-American wide receiver, LSU's two. They're just stacked. And then the other finalist is who? A wide receiver and Marvin Harrison. So, yeah, it's wide receiver. I know we've been hung up, well, you need an elite quarterback. Yeah, but if he's throwing to Singer and Hyde on the edges, who gives a damn? They're not doing nothing. Yeah. You need some dudes to make some plays. And that's what I'm really curious to see how this wide receiver room shakes out when it's all said and done.
Yeah. That sounds good. Well, Tim, I want to tell you something. And it's that this holiday, bustling, busy season, Tim, you might be looking for nutritious, flavorful meals to fuel you for all those jam-packed days. And I know that you got to try out today's sponsor, and that's Factor. And I did as well, and absolutely loved these nutritious and tasty meals. And you can check that out, and we'll give you guys this the deal at the end of this ad read. But Factor is America's number one ready-to-eat meal delivery service, and it can help you eat well for breakfast, lunch, and dinner with chef-prepared, dietitian-approved, ready-to-eat meals delivered straight to your door. You'll save time and stay on track with your healthy lifestyle while tackling all your holiday to-dos. Or even if you have an unhealthy lifestyle with me, this will help you get that healthy lifestyle. I need to put down the Taco Bell and eat a little bit more Factor. And it's not just for dinner. You can count on extra convenience any time of the day with an assorted 55-plus add-ons to suit various preferences and tastes. Choose from quick brunch, quick breakfast items, lunch to go, grab and go snacks, and ready to drink cold pressed juices, shakes, and smoothies. The smoothies, when I got my Factor package, the smoothies were a big hit for me and my wife. Absolutely love those. So this December, folks, get Factor and enjoy eating well without the hassle. Simply choose your meals and enjoy fresh, flavor-packed meals delivered to your door, ready in just a couple minutes, no prep, no mess. Head to factormeals.com/BGI50 and use the code BGI50 to get 50% off. That's code BGI50 at factormeals.com/BGI to get 50% off. I've done a lot of these meal service things, Tim, and this has been my favorite because I don't actually have to cook. You can throw it in the microwave for a couple minutes. I would prefer to preheat to 350 and I think cook it for like 7 minutes. And it comes out and it's really good stuff. So, you enjoyed yours, Mr. Hyde, your Factor?
Yes. I love food, Mike, and I've enjoyed it. So yes, no, yeah. It's a piece of cake, man. Throw it in. It's done in a couple minutes. Enjoy life. And the smoothies. I know I told you that smoothies were my favorite. So those were good.
All right. Okay. All right. I'm going to pop something up on the screen. All right. We kind of did that one time where we like spent a few minutes just talking about people's or YouTube comments.
Oh boy.
Do you remember we did that, that short video back in the summer? It was we did it on a live show, Tim. We both gave our predictions for the regular season. I said 11-1. You said 10-2, I'm guessing.
Yeah.
Colin, well, this was over the summer. Colin, do you guys remember, Tim, you know this guy, right? Colin, he's in our show all the time, right? Everyone could recognize Colin, right?
Yeah.
So Colin says, this doesn't age well. About 2 minutes before I saw this comment from Colin. I was scrolling my Twitter trying to find something that I had previously tweeted, and I found it. And little did I know. Oh, here it is. Here's Colin. Look at the date. Colin, if you're watching this, I love you. This is just so freaking funny to me. This is from February 18th. So this is right after the Jared Parker debacle.
Yeah.
And Colin says this was the last straw. You know, he's very upset. He says, I won't spend another dollar or watch another game. And Colin, I think we can confirm that you were not a man of your word. So there you go, Colin. What happened?
Great. No, hey, he's in all
our shows all the time, getting in arguments with Goolsby. It's fantastic. So there you go, Colin.
That's a true Notre Dame guy right there. He comments all the time. He's awesome.
Yeah, he didn't go anywhere though. He said he was going to go somewhere. So I just saw that. So my response to Colin in that comment was, I have something for you in tonight's show, Colin. Just wait. So there you go, Colin. Next item of news, Tim, is Joe Alt and Xavier Watts are extremely close to being unanimous All-Americans. Alt and Watts so far have been selected to the first team by the Walter Camp Football Foundation, the AP, the Football Writers Association of America, and now earlier today, Sporting News. So if they are named to the American Football Coaches Association first team, then they will be the 36th and 37th unanimous All-Americans in Notre Dame football history. Only Alabama with 41 and Ohio State with 37 currently have more entering this season. Howard Cross and Audric Estime may have been second team guys for a lot of different outlets as well, including Sporting News and Associated Press as well, I believe. So, Tim, that's got to be pretty cool, right? And deserving if those guys get those honors.
Oh, it's awesome. No, it's both those guys are unbelievable. Joe Alt, Mike, I'm like talking about being numb on news. I can't believe he didn't win one of the damn awards. Like a Lombardi and outlet. I'm like, what? So, good football players who won it, the Texas nose guard and the D end at UCLA, won the Lombardi. But Joe Alt is without a doubt one of the best offensive tackles to come around in college football over the last few years. He's a stud.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
It's clinic, man. It's unbelievable. People are going to be watching him for a long time. He's so damn good. And it's easy to say that, but just the way he plays, he's so physical. That's one thing. I went back to the spring game two springs ago when I remember it was after his freshman year. I said, he's the MVP of the game. I remember watching him, like how physical he went from his freshman to sophomore year. And he was like outstanding in that game, just kicking Foskey's butt. And then this season, you just saw it even evolve even more, and the defenses they played this year were outstanding. So many that it's funny. I've been charting some stuff for Joe Moore Award and looking at a lot of the O linemen that were the groups that were up there. Notre Dame faced more top 25 defenses than anyone in the country. So, and he went head to head with so many good football players and was just a stud. So he's going to be missed, man. I don't care what anyone says about next year. Notre Dame is going to take a dip on the edges. They just are. You're not going to run. I mean, Joe Alt, I'm going back to like from Holtz to now, his great lines to today. I mean, he's one of the five best ones easily in the last 30 plus years. Without a doubt, that's played Notre Dame. So you're just not going to put someone at left tackle and just replace him. It's not going to happen. And I think the same with Blake Fisher. So the offensive tackle position is going to be a little I hate to use the word sketchy because, there's good football players in Notre Dame, but I mean, they're replacing two NFL football players, and that's going to be tough. But Joe Alt, man, I hope we hear his name early, because that would be one hell of an honor. So he's going to be missed. And real quick on Watts, I mean, we talked a lot about him when he won one of the National Defensive Player of the Year awards. I mean, came as a wide receiver, gets moved outside linebacker, plays Rover, finally starts coming aboard the last half of last season. And it's funny, last year he just missed a handful of interceptions. I remember talking in our post-game shows. And then this year he was just all over the damn field. He was unbelievable. So to have two unanimous All-Americans on a 9-3 football team speaks to their individual performance. When I say 9-3, because most teams that are ranked higher, better records and all that, usually get the love. So it just shows you how dominant those guys were this year.
Yeah, quick super chat, Tim, from Michael. $5 thank you. He says, is it true that Sam Hartman's success has paid the way, so to speak, in landing every transfer that Notre Dame is recruiting? I'll hang up and listen to your answer.
I think it helped. I think it showed with the NIL, all the stuff that came his way, the sponsorships and, just go back to the camp, right? When he's passing out beats and what else did he pass? He was passing out a handful of things during training camp. There was always a couple of videos on him. So yeah. It shows. It also goes back to Jack Cohn. Jack Cohn can't get lost in this because he came to Notre Dame. He transformed himself. He was an under center, hand the ball off 70% of the time quarterback, comes to Notre Dame, learns to do a shotgun, quick RPO type game, and takes Notre Dame to 11 wins. So
yeah.
Cohn, Hartman, Leonard. I think if Notre Dame needs one, it's once again the brand of Notre Dame, how strong it is, but also the track record. You got two quarterbacks that have come to Notre Dame and had some good success. Yeah. It does help.
Yeah. There was that YouTube comment that I screenshot and sent to you and Goolsby. Someone was like, thank you to Sam Hartman for Riley Leonard's commitment because Sam Hartman went and waited for Riley after that game when Riley got hurt. That's why Riley Leonard committed to Notre Dame. I'm like, oh, good God. Like, that's kind of how I feel on this. Like, no, not everyone is committing to Notre Dame because of Sam Hartman. But I think for Riley Leonard, there's something to that proof of concept. Yeah. You go to Notre Dame for that year. I think for Leonard, there is the ability to raise your draft profile in a big way. Because, I mean, like, if Sam Hartman came and balled at Notre Dame this year, right, and let's just say was like even a borderline Heisman invitee, would he have raised his draft stock that much? Maybe like a fourth round. Maybe. If Riley Leonard does that at 6'4", 212 and can move like that, like, yeah, he could be a first round pick, So yeah. I think there's the element of that high ceiling with the NIL. So,
A good point. That's a good point. Real quick on Riley. I mean, he was already in the NFL talks before this season even got underway. And he comes out and tears apart Clemson, runs all over the place, throws all over the place. He's got him undefeated. Game day, Duke's ranked in the top 20, and then he gets injured with the last play against Howard Cross. And then that just hurt him pretty much the rest of the year. That's why he had the numbers he did. So, heck, if he would have stayed healthy, Howard Cross doesn't injure his ankle and he plays and Duke's 9-3, top 20 again, going to a good bowl, and he's having the same numbers he did in 22. Mike, he's in the NFL.
Yeah.
He's a 2-year starter, 2 years with all those numbers, all those stats, and he is going to the NFL. So Notre Dame is getting a quarterback that could easily be, getting his name called next year.
Yeah. So going back to Joe Alt's and his declaration for the NFL draft, that was fairly obvious. I do think, for what it's worth, it was more difficult for him to make that decision than probably most people thought. He loves Notre Dame, but I do think he had a thought about coming back. But I mean, no, Dane Brugler tweeted out he's offensive tackle number one. I mean, there's just no way, right? That you're going to go come back. But anyways, Fisher was kind of like, you could see it either way. But yeah, he was always going as well from what I understand. And he's not playing in the bowl game. All will not be playing in the bowl game. Cam Hart, by the way, didn't specify, but in his announcement that he's going to the NFL. But I kind of just assume that anyone who's declaring for the draft is not playing the bowl game.
Yeah, I agree.
We'll see.
I'll tackle.
Go ahead, Tim.
No, I was just going to say, and real quick on Blake Fisher, you know, it's just, let me just spend a minute on him is, you know, the talk of, oh, he should have come back. It's tough because, I mean, he's been here since spring of, 21. So he's been here for a handful of years. Dude's got 27 starts under his belt now. So it's not like, he hasn't done anything. He's got 27 starts. NFL O-line coaches love Notre Dame players. I mean, they take free agents and they go and start because of the fundamentals, how they've been. They're tough, fundamentally sound. They've been coached by good football coaches. So, man, it's tough. You could say, well, he should have come back. But then, you know what? When you started that many games, played that much football, sometimes you just got to be like, I'm going. I mean, there was guys last year picked in the second round last year that had, half the starts that Fisher has had. So I'm sure he's just going to go next year and start that clock to try and get that second contract and whatnot. So, and if you're a third, fourth, fifth round pick, the money's all relative. And, he probably was never thought of himself as a first round left tackle to begin with. So might as well just jump in and, that's what I see with Blake is he's going to get drafted. He's going to play in the NFL and he wants to get that clock running. And I have no issues with that.
So with both Fisher and Alt going, just thoughts on the offensive tackles going forward, because it seems like the interior is solid. Craig, looks great at center. You got Shrouth, Spindler, assuming that, Spindler comes back and everything is good there. Coogan, even obviously it's a strong, that's four guys for three spots. It's a really good group, but then the tackles, do you go with, the three names for the two spots you would talk about are Tosh Baker, Emil Wagner, and Charles Jagasaw. Some people are in here saying, oh, Jagasaw's a guard. I don't know about that. I still think he can play tackle, and that's kind of what I'm hearing as well. Or do you go to the portal, Tim, to bring in experience, as you always talk about and Freeman does? What are your thoughts?
Man, yeah, Charles is massive. He could be an offensive tackle in a heartbeat. That's one of the reasons why they recruited it. They got guards.
Tim. J.Carr brings up Gerby Lambert. That's correct. I've been saying, like, hey, man, if he were coming in the spring, I could see Gerby Lambert. Like, maybe still even Gerby Lambert could be a guy who plays as a true freshman. We'll see.
Yeah, but Lambert, he's not arriving until the summer. So right. That is going to be, extremely, extremely hard. Joe Alt did it, but it took three injuries. Remember, Joe Alt was playing tight end against Purdue before they had to switch him to offensive tackle because of injuries. That's how he got, got him going. So, but that's going to be tough for Gerby to rise up, as a true freshman without, winter conditioning and spring football at Notre Dame. But, a Wagner, I've said it 100 times, he's on the path of 90% of Notre Dame football players in the history of Notre Dame. Red shirt, play a little bit, boom. Now you're the guy. There's so many offensive linemen, heck, tons of positions that have done that over the years. By your junior year, you're there. Baker, obviously, has just been stuck behind two NFL football players.
Yeah.
Joe Alton, Blake Fisher. So he was a top 100 player. He's got a couple starts under his belt from 2021. Has he gotten stronger, quicker? Mike, we are going to find out in 16 days, whatever the heck this is. So, and then with Charles, he's massive, athletic, unbelievable skills. Freshman, the wrestler, just watch his film, the violence he plays with, the athleticism he plays with. So, yeah, you got three guys going to go out there and battle an Oregon State defense that was in the top 10 in the country this year in sacks. So that is going to be a huge part of the Sun Bowl is blocking, because you are obviously losing two NFL guys. So what do those next guy get? How do they come in and play it? That's going to be a huge part of this game. We could talk about Angeli and a thousand other things, but Steve isn't good unless the tackles are good.
Yeah.
So I think that is going to be how that Sun Bowl rocks, is outside on those tackle spots.
So on the 20th is going to be our signing day show. We're going to be all focused on recruiting. Then the 27th, Tim, we're going to have an Oregon State beat writer. Okay. My last beat before Notre Dame was actually Oregon State. So when I left the Oregon State Rivals website, we hired, or I should say Rivals hired a guy named Brendan Slaughter. And Brendan worked for me. Yeah, I cut his check. So he is actually going to be on the show on the 27th. So he's going to, so big thing I want to ask him is about the Oregon State defensive ends, like who's playing, to kind of get that insight, Tim. So when you said that, I was thinking like, is maybe Oregon State is with the same thing that like Notre Dame's offensive tackles are. Maybe those guys are opting out. Who knows? But I'm going to ask you this question again. What would you do for next year? Would you bring in a portal guy? What would you like to see if this were up to Tim Hyde?
Yeah, let's talk around, 6 p.m. on the 29th, correct?
Okay.
I mean, Tosh Baker has 2 years of eligibility. You know, Emil Wagner obviously is primed to be a guy for the next couple of years as well. So very, very talented guys right there. And obviously they've recruited good the last 2 years with Charles, and you know, Gerby Lambert is talented beyond belief. So he's going to obviously, you know, get in the fire early next year. I don't think he'll be ready for A&M, but he could be a second half of the season type of a offensive lineman, you know, kind of like Billy Schrauf was this year. But man, Mike, that's a tough question, because Notre Dame is O-line U. This is what you recruit to, right? This is what you do. You buy your time in the O-line, the weight room, and when your time comes, you're the next man in. So unless there's just a guy out there, Michigan wins back-to-back Joe Moore Award, and they go out and get 4 offensive line transfers. So it didn't hurt them whatsoever. If there's somebody out there that's, you know, started 25, 30 starts at the Power 5 level, and he's a dude, and you know he could come in and be a guy for you a while, Gerby and Charles keep practicing, that's something they got to think about. But man, Mike, that's we're gonna find out. I mean it's a tough one, because Baker's been sitting on the bench for so long. Can Wagner's high school film, I'll say 1,000 times, is as good as any film I've ever seen. He is a legit offensive line athlete, but can he hold up for 12 plus games weighing 295, 300, whatever his weight is that he'll be next year? So those are huge, huge issues that Freeman, Rudolph, and all those guys have to figure out. I mean, that's a long way around trying to answer the question, but at offensive line, man, I would go with what you have, because they got some dudes.
Okay. All right, folks, hear from our next sponsor today, and that is Game Time. So we got to talk about this ticket purchasing process, which can be stressful. You find the event you want to go to. Okay, that's great. Then you got to find the seats that you want, go through the whole purchasing process. It can be stressful, but not with Game Time, and especially not if you are, if you are buying tickets late, kind of last minute deal. Well, then you're definitely going to check out GameTime.co, not .com, GameTime.co, a fast and easy way to buy tickets for sports, music, and comedy and theater near you, with killer last-minute ticket deals, so you can get relaxed and hyped for that fun that you're going to have at that event. And when you use the promo code BGI, you're going to get $20 off your first purchase with Game Time. And best thing, they guarantee that you'll get the lowest price, or they will refund you 110%. You don't need to plan months in advance, since they have deals right up to Game Time. Snag the tickets without the stress with Game Time. Download the app, create an account, and use the promo code BGI for $20 off your first purchase. Terms apply. Again, folks, create an account, redeem code BGI for $20 off. Last minute tickets, lowest price guaranteed. Okay. TP Your House, very handsome looking guy here, says, get those Nicki Minaj tickets, Singer. I might have to, Mr. TP Your House. For folks listening via podcast, he has a picture of me as his avatar, so that's why I said he's handsome. New commitment for Notre Dame this week, Mr. Hyde, was RJ Oben from Duke. Notre Dame double dipping at the school in Durham, North Carolina. Of course, landing Riley Leonard, the quarterback,
and also RJ Oben from Montclair, New Jersey, 6'4", 260 pounds from St. Peter's in the Garden State. And Tim, I said this last week about Oben. It just makes so much sense for him to go to Notre Dame. I mean, when you read that his father currently serves as the NFL vice president of football development, to me, that just screams 4 for 40 is a big deal kind of thing. And that, like, I could see this guy really wanting to go from Duke to Notre Dame. So yeah, RJ Oben, Javonte Jean-Baptiste replacement. Tim, are you pretty fired up about this commitment?
Yeah. I mean, you want to talk about it, just plug and play right there, right? You lose a heck of a DN, transfers in from Ohio State for a season. Baptiste was everything you asked for. I mean, seriously, he was unbelievable this year. The reps he gave, the presence on that wide side edge, he was outstanding all season long. And you're basically almost getting a clone of JJB. Just boom, putting him in for a 6-year, a guy that's played a ton of football at Duke. And he's out coming from a heck of a defensive head coach the last 2 years, obviously, with Mike Elko there at Duke going to A&M. So, no, this is awesome. There's tons of whispers out there. So many schools, obviously, calling him, where he's going to visit, all of those types of things. And for Notre Dame to lock it up and come here for 1 year and provide them an instant starter who's going to provide great depth, because they got a lot of young defensive ends. So this is a big win for Notre Dame.
Yeah. And looking at his stats, Tim, not super productive, just the numbers. 17 tackles. That's not a crazy amount for someone who looks like he played the entire season. 6 tackles for loss is solid. 5 sacks is solid. Not a ton of tackles. 6 quarterback hurries and knocked down a pass. But does that concern you at all, looking at the numbers?
Stats are stats. You just never know. I mean, there's so many running quarterbacks, which is, unless you sit there and study Duke, which I have not broken down all 12 of their snaps this year, it is what it is. There's so many responsibilities that go into a football player. He's one of 11. It's hard to say, because obviously we're stat driven, like, oh, what's his stats? I mean, Howard Cross went with 1 sack and a couple TFLs this year. Most of his stuff came against Duke, and he's second team All-American on everyone. So, it is what it is. But you watch him play, his physical presence on the edge, it's outstanding. It's outstanding. And that's the other thing. Sometimes sacks, it's more about hurries, the pressures. Because sacks happen when a lot of times quarterback just holds the damn ball. Because so many of these offenses are just quick release. That's when you get a lot of your sacks and whatnot. But he's outstanding in the film I've watched on him. He is a physical presence that will bring it.
Yeah. My other question for you was Notre Dame getting my, I need a haircut, Mr. Hyde. I'm sorry about that. Notre Dame goes into the portal and gets, let's talk about last year, right? Javonte Jean-Baptiste.
Yep.
And Thomas Harper, right? Your big end and your nickel. Does it concern you at all that Notre Dame is doing the same exact thing this year? You're replacing those two positions again, like for like. JJB to Oben, and then Harper to Jordan Clark. I know we've talked so much about the one-year rental thing with quarterback, but I don't know. With this, is it kind of like, do you think like they're not recruiting well for these spots, or I don't know. Maybe the nickel thing is just so specialized where you're recruiting corners to be like outside corners, but like, are you recruiting just a nickel? Or if you are, that guy too young? Like, maybe a nickel thing might be better for 1 year rentals, kind of like a kicker, if that makes sense.
No, a nickel is basically your rover. I mean, it's basically an outside linebacker. He's on the slot. He's down in the box. He's the guy you're sending fires on off the edges. Harper, brought it a ton, Bracy blitzed a lot. It's that old Sam linebacker, whatever you want to call it back in the heyday, the drop backer. It's that same exact position of playing that wide side slot. And that's what that is. You can say, well, you can play Mickey there. Well, maybe Mickey's not good at it. Maybe Mickey's not good at forcing. We'll play Christian Gray. It's not just like plugging a corner at that spot. That is a tough position.
Yeah.
Basically a hybrid outside linebacker that's got, I mean, look at, you know, Owusu-Koramoah. That's what it was. One of my favorites of all time is Rocky Boyman back in the day, played the drop back or the Sam, whatever it was called back at Notre Dame in those days. Goolsby could talk about that because he played with them. But that was his specialty too. He's over the tight end, he's on the slot, he's dropped, he's on the line of scrimmage, he's back and playing linebacker depth. That's a tough one. But the D end, man, Mike, it just goes back to there are certain positions Notre Dame is not stacked talent at. Safety, wide receiver in the D end position. And they're still feels like they're trying to replenish those guys, you know. I mean, just a couple of years ago when Freeman's first class is Tyson Ford. Well, is Tyson Ford a strong side pass rushing end or is he a three tech? You know, the other DN that year was Aiden Gobira, who was out this year. So is he going to be back? And then is Heinisch the next year? You know, they've had to move Burnham and Tui Alamaka down to D line already. So it seems like there's bodies, but are they presence type guys, you know, edge type dudes? And that same thing with Brennan Vernon. Is he an inside guy? Is he twitchy enough to play the five tech, that wide side C gap? Those are some tough questions. And I think Freeman has just been like, until one of these guys steps up, man, we need a guy that we could trust. And you got Baptiste and the Duke guy coming in.
Yeah, you mentioned Vernon. We both love Brennan Vernon, but I feel like some of these guys are just kind of eating their way into three techs. Like Riley Mills came to Notre Dame, was like, you're right, you're a five tech.
Yeah.
Three tech, right? I mean, that's kind of how it goes, right? You come in to be a Viper, and then where do you end up? Strong side end. Or you come in as strong side end, you end up at three. If you come in as a three, you eat your way into a nose.
Well, that's the same thing with offensive tackle. Everyone's like, well, you know, Charles Jagasol is just going to be a guard. Well, how many guards, you know, are going to be at Notre Dame? Six? 16? I mean, they got stacked. You're just a guard. Well, you can't play 19 guards. So you got to have tackles eventually. Same thing with defensive ends. You got to eventually have a D. I mean, Tyson Ford signed. It was like, oh, my God, he's a top 100 edge guy. Hasn't been the case. And before that, there were just – I mean, 2021 defensive line is oh, my God, who is it? It's the guy, the St. Louis guy. But he's an inside guy. Oh, my God, Rubio.
Talking about Ford.
Yeah, I'm just thinking of defensive lineman, Rubio. Ford. 2020. I don't think they had any DNs in that class, just trying to think off the top of my head. So there's been some years where they're still trying to play catch up, I feel like, at defensive end when it comes to players.
Okay.
You know, Gobira, Vernon, you know, Josh Burnham, Tuli Alamaka have played there. You know, they're more Vipers, but is Burnham going to bulk up and be a strong side end? But if you get a dude that's coming back for a 6 year that's got NFL potential, you got to take it. You got to take it.
All right, folks, if you want to know what I'm getting Tim for Christmas, it is the Delta 8 THC cannabis advent calendar, Tim. So you're looking forward to I'm going to get Tim a nice little THC cannabis advent calendar. But in all seriousness, you know what I'll give Tim? I'll admit that I'm wrong on a couple of things. How about I do that for Christmas, Tim? I'll text you. Here's where I've been wrong for a couple of things. And Tim can just be happy with that. It doesn't happen often because Mike Singer's just always right. But it is time to hear from our last sponsor for today's show, and that is Rogue Shop, the husband and wife outfit. Mr. Rogue and his wife, Shara, craft cannabis farmers who specialize in small batch sustainable plant medicine. Come on, Singer. Words. You got this. It's a true holistic type of small business. They farm and grow everything themselves. They do everything by hand. Check them out over at rogueshop.com, rogueshop.com. They sell everything from CBD, THC, edibles, tinctures, smokables, bath salts, pain creams, topicals, vapes, candles, soaps, and more. Hop on the website, rogueshop.com. You can do a little Q&A. With the owners of the shop. They'll answer any questions that you have. So go to rogueshop.com if you have any issues sleeping, chronic pain, or if you have anxiety, stress issues. Use the promo code Blue and Gold, just one word, Blue and Gold. Will get you 10% off your order at rogueshop.com. Okay, Tim, we are going to bring in... Oh, you know what we didn't talk about real quick?
No, actually, let me look back at my show notes. What I sent you today, Tim, has changed because we had like three things of news drop today. So we are going to bring in Tyler Horka. Could we get a round of applause for my boy Tyler Horka? Probably the most recurring guest here at Blue and Gold. Tim, do you have something you want to say to Tyler?
No, I was doing the crowd noise.
Okay, there you go. So Tyler Horka in the house. Appreciate you, my friend. We're going to start with Tyler's reaction to Jack Kaiser coming back. All during the season, I was just saying, man, Maris, Bertrand, and Kaiser have been here, you know, since NOM. Like, these guys are probably going to go. But Kaiser coming back, Marist and Bertrand won't. Kaiser will. What was your reaction to this news, Tyler?
This might be a hot take because J.D. Bertrand has led this team in tackles, what, the last three seasons, is it? I know for sure it's the last two. So you say, okay, you're going to lose Bertrand. Who are you going to have at middle linebacker? Why not Jack Kaiser at middle linebacker? I think he's actually adept at playing pretty much every single linebacking position out there. And I think that's also why he was kind of caught behind those other two guys in terms of snap counts. If you look at the snap counts, J.D. Bertrand played over 600. Maris Liefau played 500-something. And I think both of those guys had really good seasons. But for Jack Kaiser to only play 350 snaps tops, that was not enough. And he's coming back, and he's going to get that opportunity to be on the field for every single down. And I know there's some people that are saying, do away with all three of the graduate student linebackers. I always thought at least one of them would come back. I thought two might have even been a sweet spot, but it turns out, like you said, Mike, it's only going to be one. And I tweeted this out today. I put it on our message board. I don't know if you guys feel the same way. If you had to bring back only one, I don't think Jack Kaiser is a bad option. But the way that they all played, probably all not bad options to have at least one of those guys in your linebacking core. But I'm a big Jack Kaiser fan. Me and Jack Sobel, our coworker, our colleague, we did a thing where we ranked the most underrated players of Notre Dame's season in 2023. I think we both put Jack Kaiser at the very top. I know I did. So I like it. I think it's a really good thing for Notre Dame that he's coming back.
Yeah, before Tim talks here, Tyler, I'm going to go back to you on something because Tim and I talk all the time. It's like, yeah, if your base is like a 4-3, I mean, Notre Dame never plays three linebackers, really. I mean, unless it's goal line or something or very short yardage, you're playing a nickel, right? I mean, the days of Jeremiah Owusu-Koramoah being able to do both, those are long gone. So you're playing two most of your time. Kaiser's one. What are your thoughts on who might be next to him?
Everyone wants it to be someone like Jalen Snead, but I don't know if I've seen the steps forward that he needs to take. And maybe he plays a lot in this bowl game. And I know Tim was on here talking earlier. Ask him about the quarterbacks at 6 p.m. on December 29th because he's going to know a lot more about Steve Angeli. Maybe we know a lot more about Jalen Snead at that same exact time on December 29th. So right now I can't confidently say that it's him. Look, I just said that Jack Kaiser could play middle linebacker. Maybe someone like Drake Bowen plays middle linebacker, or not middle linebacker. Maybe Drake Bowen plays middle linebacker, and then you have Jack Kaiser playing the Maris Liefau role. I think that is a suitable thing that Notre Dame could do. Now, look, the big-time schools like the Alabamas, the Georgias, they're playing freshmen at these positions, and they're not afraid to do so. So maybe our guy Kingston comes in and he plays middle linebacker right away. Like, if he's good enough to do that, you let him do that. And then Jack Kaiser is still in that Maris Liefau role at the weak side linebacker where you got him moving, rushing off the edge, all those different types of things. I think he can do those things. So is it Bowen? Is it Kingston? I'm not sure, but it's going to be a young guy. Yeah. I mean, Jalen Snead is like the oldest option, it seems like, and he's only going to be a junior next season. So it's Kaiser for sure. Kaiser is going to have the Liefau, the Bertrand snap count, and then it's somebody else is going to shoot way up in snap counts. And it could be Bowen. I mean, I kind of like what I've seen out of Bowen in terms of practices and the limited reps that he's gotten in games.
Tim?
Real quick, it was tackles, Horka, is what I said at 6 o'clock. 6 p.m., we're going to know more about the offensive tackles.
That too.
Yeah, and then speaking of freshmen, Mike Singer, did you notice who's been on every single second team All-American this year? My favorite football player, Caleb Downs.
Oh, he's so good.
Oh, my God, Mike.
Yeah.
Can Notre Dame, I'm talking about freshmen. Can Notre Dame get one dude who just comes in on day one and just, I'm just going to make every All-American team? It's like, that's a dude. So just a little shout out to him. God, great, great football player. But with the linebackers, man, I'm fired up for, kind of bouncing off what Tyler said, just one of the three, because just to be a captain, because there are, when you watch Notre Dame's defense, people, whether, there's so many, I don't like Maris, JD's horrible. They don't understand what in the world's happening at a blink of an eye. Those two guys and Kaiser, when he's out there, two out of those three, or when they're out there together, are so dialed in. There are so many checks, adjustments. There's certain plays because of zone reads. Zone reads, dive, quarterback, pitch. Who's on everything? And emotion changes all of that on a fly. And you can see Maris, JD, Kaiser, whoever it is, adjusting instantly. And it goes like this. That's why that defense was so dialed in and locked into so many plays this year, because they're just – they know what Al Golden wants. And I am fired up to see Kaiser now. He's basically going to be, the head coach on that defense. He's going to know what those guys are on every single check. He's going to be assuming Al Golden comes back. He got his third year with him. And then more importantly, as I said this a week ago or so when chatting with Singer, is – this is 4 years now being around Marcus Freeman. So he's going to know Marcus Freeman's, tone, his language. He's going to be a voice. Same thing with Howard Cross. You got some older dudes in that room. And the linebacker room is stacked with some unbelievable high school All-Americans that we've been chatting about for a couple of years. So it's going to be a war. And I'm going to say that it is going to be a war really for one spot. And yeah, you're going to get – Kingston coming in from St. John Bosco is going to be a stud. You're going to have, obviously, Jalen Snead. Me personally, I hope they just say, Snead, you're going to be our Micah Parsons, Harold Perkins at LSU. You're going to just rush and play all over the place. You're going to be our captain on Aztec. Bowen, Osbury, Ziegler come back in the mix. It's going to be wild that inside linebacker comes
from okay. football. Yeah. So looking at the PFF snap counts, Bertrand, 613. Maris Liefeld 595, Kaiser 327, and then Snead 199. So that was your four main linebackers. Now, Maris, I learned, I feel like just a few weeks ago, he has a special position in the Notre Dame defense called the money position, that roaming linebacker. That does feel like something that Snead could do. So kind of a side note there, because I did say, like, listen, it's going to be a lot of nickel, but there will be times, Tim, I'm sure, right? There's three on the field, though.
Like three times a game, yeah.
Okay, so really, okay.
It's not a lot. It is not a lot. When you chart them, I'm sure, when Tyler rewatches it, yeah, you don't see a lot of three backers unless it's just they know it's third and three and the other team's got two tight ends out there and they'll match personnel, but it is not a lot of times you see three linebackers.
Tyler, do you have anything else you want to add?
Yeah, the only time that you really see three linebackers is when you take a defensive end off the field and you put Jalen Snead on there and you're in your Aztec and he's rushing the quarterback every single time. And I was a little bit surprised that you said 199 snaps for Jalen Snead. But then when I go and think about how much they were in Aztec, I say, there's your 199 snaps. So a bulk of them came from that package.
Yeah, YouTube chat's talking about Jaden Osbury. There's another young, talented linebacker, Preston Zinter. I know a lot of people like there, and then you bring in Kingston Viliamuasa. It's a pretty loaded linebacker room, which kind of makes sense even why you're seeing some of those linebackers move to, Viper. And I wouldn't be surprised if you see more of that. Did you have something you want to add, Tyler?
Yeah, I was just going to say one thing about Jaden Osbury. You can tell how much the coaching staff likes him and wants to hang on to him by the fact that they just kind of shut him down. I don't have his game log in front of me, but it seems like once he got to that four-game mark, which I think he's still sitting on, I wouldn't be surprised if they just say, you're not even playing in this Sun Bowl. It seems like they're trying to redshirt him, and they want to get a good 3 or 4 years out of him beyond this. And I know that's not the way college football works these days, but when we had that conversation with Marcus Freeman in like mid-November, where we were like, okay, who are the guys that you're thinking about redshirting? Osbury's name came up, and he said, yeah, we want to redshirt him. And that could go both ways. It could be like, obviously, he's not good enough to get on the field right now, but I think that's just because the linebacker snap count and the way that they divvied those up was what it was. He wasn't going to get on the field anyway. Might as well try to get another year out of him. But I really like him going back to fall camp. That dude can track the ball, moves the ball, moves with the ball well, yeah. reactionary. What Tim was saying about the graduates just being so cerebral and smart that they know where the ball is going, and that's why they can shut things down on the edges and kind of plug up those gaps. I think Osberry is on his way to being that type of player at some
yeah,
point.
Yeah, Osberry. Go ahead, Tim.
I'm sorry. No, a quick side note. What Tyler said, remember the new waiver that's in is the bowl game does not count as a game. So Osberry, Traore, they could play and it's still a redshirt for them. It'll be their fifth game, but it doesn't count.
Well, I think we'll see him a lot then.
Yeah.
Yes.
I put them out there.
Especially Traore, yeah.
Yep.
Just think about like 7 years ago, Tim, all the difference. I mean, it's just – do you remember if you played a snap – yeah. Sorry, redshirt.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's it.
You're done. I remember there was and this is an aside, but it's a quick one. Growing up a Texas fan, this was like 2012, 2013. And Notre Dame fans will remember him as well because he's the one that actually scored the overtime touchdown where Joe Tessitore says Texas is back, folks. The quarterback Tyrone Swoops, who made that diving play. Mack Brown burned his red shirt at like 2 a.m. on a rainy night in TCU after a three-hour rain delay in a game that started at 7 p.m. Central, and Texas was up so big. This was when Case McCoy was the starter, and Tyrone Swoops had not played a down to that point. I think it was late October, early November, and Mack Brown threw him into the game, and the whole fan base was like, what are you doing? You just burned an entire year of this guy's eligibility. And now, like you said, Mike, you play four games and – you can play 50 snaps you can play 50 snaps in all those games, and it's like you never played.
COVID years. I mean, you can get a waiver for anything. You can get a one-time transfer.
But the NCAA is very smart because they know the bowl games, all these opt-outs and the portal and this the way the calendar is. I mean, there's teams that couldn't even play guys because you're redshirting so many guys. They're smart. Screw it. Play everybody. It's basically a free spring game. Go enjoy it.
A rare NCAA victory. All right. Yes. So we are talking a lot about Notre Dame quarterbacks in today's show. We opened with Riley Leonard and then the picture of Drew Pine, Tyler Buckner, Sam Hartman, Steve Angeli. That just sums up Notre Dame football in 2023, that happened. That, like, just the craziness, I should add. But we do need to talk about with Tim because – news came out Monday, I believe, that Sam Hartman not playing in the bowl game. Now, Tim and I have talked a little bit about this off air in some text messages. In that famous, maybe I should say infamous text group with myself, you, and Goolsby about Hartman. And this is really why we bring in Tyler Horka to be the voice of reason. Horka, if you want to get paid, you need to agree with what I say.
By the way, yeah, Horka was great.
I'm just kidding. I don't cut Horka's checks.
Tyler was great in the little 10-minute vid you guys put out on Monday, so that was solid.
Horka's fantastic. So, yes, I want to talk about it because I did say in that video I need to gather my thoughts a little bit more.
Yes.
Okay? If you look at just the bowl game, right, it's the no context. The only information you have is just looking at the bowl game. This is great. I have no issues with this whatsoever. We don't need to see more Sam Hartman, Tim. And 9-10 wins. Sure, it would be nice to get the 10 for something when you're looking back on the season in 10 years and for Marcus Freeman, the amount of 10-win seasons he's had. But otherwise, the game doesn't really mean anything. Go put out Steve Angeli. It's a potential resume builder for him. See what he can do for, hey, you bring in Riley Leonard for the 2024 season. If Angeli doesn't go, man, remember Steve Angeli in that bowl game? Or we really believe in him. Or if Riley Leonard does, I mean, knock on wood, if he goes down at some point in 2024, you really have confidence in Steve because of that bowl game. He plays well, all that stuff. Just for the bowl game, this is good. I'm happy that Sam's not playing in this game. But the context of the season, I am not happy about Sam Hartman not playing in the game. And I would love to know why Sam Hartman is skipping this bowl game. I would love to know. I even wished in his announcement video that he would have said, I'm not playing. I mean, he didn't even really declare it. He didn't really declare anything. It was just a note to college football, but then we all kind of got the hint. But that's a different discussion for a different day. Sam was brought here to win a national title, or at the very least, get yourself to a college football playoff game, or even a step down from that. Just get to a New Year's Six bowl game. Go lead Notre Dame to one of those big bowl game wins that Notre Dame has not had, and we're talking decades. Those things don't happen. You think the big rah-rah Notre Dame guy, this is just my opinion, folks. I'm sure I'll get hate comments on YouTube. That's okay. You think he could at least be here to get to Notre Dame to 10 wins? If Notre Dame failed those benchmarks, you think he would be here to get to Notre Dame to 10 wins? So I just kind of feel like I was fed a little bit of a lie. That's just how I feel on the Hartman experiment right now. All a very beloved figure, rah-rah Notre Dame, and opting out of the bowl game. And Tim, when we were texting, you brought up Kyren Williams as kind of an example of, hey, he loved Notre Dame and he sat out the bowl game. Difference being Kyren Williams gave 3 years to the program. And we knew, even though he went lower than expected, Tim, we knew that Kyren Williams was going to be a draft pick. We were kind of, and I think he went lower because of the positional value, if anything.
I agree.
Kyren Williams gave 3 years to the team. I mean, a lot of carries there. I just feel like Sam, the one, like, go out on a high note, man. Like, go get that. Go hoist a trophy, even if it's the Sun Bowl trophy. Like, Brian Kelly left, leaves a bad taste in your mouth for all the success he had, right? But you kind of leave with a bad taste in your mouth. This is just my opinion, folks. Maybe you don't have a bad taste in your mouth with Sam Hartman. Maybe, you know, you're just so happy because he recruited Riley Leonard to Notre Dame by his sideline conversation with him back in September. Sam Hartman walks on water. I mean, if that's your opinion, that's fine. But to me, it just kind of leaves a bad taste in my mouth for all the expectations we had for Sam. And then he opts out of the bowl game. I want to know why he is. I don't know if I'll ever get that answer. Yeah, there you go. Tim?
I'll jump in here. I mean, Marcus Freeman always talks about, the 12th game, you're guaranteed 12. He played 12. My humble opinion is I'm exhausted by talking about Sam Hartman. It feels like for much too long. I'm fine with it. I mean, seriously, I'm fine with it as in we're done. He's done. He did his time. I don't want to watch him in the Sun Bowl. So I'm kind of, seriously, I don't. I don't want to watch it. I'd rather watch the other guys. I am much more excited about 2024 than watching Sam Hartman throw to guys. You know, I'd rather see Angeli. If Minchie has a good, couple weeks of practice, and if he gets in there, if Angeli struggles, Minchie comes in, or whatever it is, or Steve goes out there and kicks butt, because all these guys are returning now. I'm talking Colsey's supposed to be playing. Faison's going to play. You got Greathouse. You got Flanagan. You got, help me out. Raritan. You got Thomas coming back for his injury. You got all these guys are coming back. So, hey, Sam, move on. He doesn't have the two tackles. Let the two new tackles block for Angeli. Let him get his feet wet. Because that's the bigger point, Mike, is Riley Leonard's coming in. If Riley Leonard sprains his ankle in game five again, well, who the hell is number two? So, we're talking linebacker, a battle of war in the spring. The battle for number two at quarterback is the storyline for me in spring football. So Sam Hartman, I'm done, man. I am exhausted talking about Sam Hartman. I am excited. We don't have to watch him play and just get worn out by a good throw, a crappy throw. Who gives a damn? He went 9-3. Time to move on. That's just my humble opinion.
Before we go to Tyler. So I'm reading the chat. You guys are, there's a lot of football reasons you guys are talking about, like football. Tim's a football guy, right? I'm a media guy. I'm talking media things, right? That's kind of what I do. We employ Tim Hyde and Mike Goolsby to talk football. I'm the media guy, right? I run the YouTube side of things. I make fancy graphics and headlines. That's why they pay me the little bucks. But think about the human element side. Did Audric Estime really need to go off in the Stanford game, right? That was a human element thing for Audric Estime, felt snubbed. So they ran Audric Estime against Stanford. He is pissed. Didn't need to do that, but that's the context of this. This is not a video game, and these are real people with real emotions. That's where I'm coming at with the Hartman thing, right? Football side of things, are you kidding me? I would have rather Steve Angeli start every damn game this season. Yeah, especially the bowl game. I want to see what we have too.
12 more seconds before Tyler. I and a side note, is everything changed when, you know, FSU got snubbed out. Because then the ACC just went like, Notre Dame, you're going to play in the worst bowl we got. We're going to take care of our own. You're not going to get your LSU, you know, bowl game on January 1st. I think if Notre Dame was playing January 1st, we would see a different story. They're not playing on January 1st. That changes a lot of things out there. And, yeah, go for it, Tyler.
Stole the words out of my mouth. That's what I've been sitting here waiting to say. Notre Dame's playing an Oregon State team that's down to its third-string quarterback, a guy that's thrown – I get it, he started 8 times last year, but he's thrown one pass in 2023. Like, obviously, that's what Oregon State thought about this guy. DJU enters the portal. I think their backup's name is Aiden Childs. He enters the portal. You're down to Ben Gulbranson, your third stringer. Here's a human element for you, Mike. If I'm Sam Hartman, who's played 6 years of college football, I'm sitting there thinking, you're going to send me out to El Paso, Texas, to play in a 40,000-seat stadium against Ben Gulbranson of Oregon State?
Then if he's not playing Brian, then he's not rah-rah Notre Dame guy. Then I feel like I was fed a lie because he's saying, I'm bigger than Notre Dame. I'm bigger than this game. Like, bro, like, what'd you do at Wake Forest? Like, you know?
Let me just jump in just for one quick thing for Tyler. It's like you're talking the media thing, Mike, and whatnot. But isn't it, as the media guy, isn't it freaking exhausting? All the conversation about Sam Hartman is done. I think as a media guy, you should be like, thank you. And
it's twofold, Tim. I sent a text to Mike like Monday. I think it was right after Hartman made this decision. And I said, I'm going to miss Sam Hartman because you can't tweet about the guy without it just going off and you're gaining followers and you're getting likes. And pretty much everything that I tweeted, it was just factual. Like, hey, here's what he said or here's what he did. I mean, at the beginning of the year, there were stats that you could pull with his QBR and his passer rating. And he started with 13 touchdowns, no picks. You just put that stuff out there and it was a gold mine. And then when things got a little tough, I tweeted a video of him running off the field against NC State. He waited for the NC State band to finish playing. And then he pumped up the crowd and ran off. Like, that stuff played well. What he said after the USC game played well. If he has kids, if he's lucky enough to have kids is his exact wording. He wants to bring them back to Notre Dame and he wants to have a highlight of himself playing on the Notre Dame Stadium big board. Like, that's big time stuff. But I say it's twofold, Tim, because I agree with you. Part of me is like exhausted and I'm kind of ready for the 1 year Sam Hartman experience to end. And it did. It ended on Monday. So that's it. We don't have to try to hype this guy up. We don't have to put anything out about Sam Hartman anymore because it's Steve Angeli now, and then it's going to be Riley Leonard in a month. And I just kind of pray that and I wrote a column about this at blueandgold.com. I don't know if either of you guys read it, but I'm like, hold your horses on hyping up Riley Leonard because we did the same thing with Sam Hartman, and Notre Dame went 9-3. And in the big games, he didn't make the big plays. And that could be the case with Riley Leonard. I don't think I'm on here to talk a lot of Riley Leonard. You guys got that out of the way at the beginning, but there's part of me there's people too optimistic, and you can be optimistic all you want about Riley Leonard. He's a good quarterback. If you're Notre Dame, you go get him every single time. But yeah. I'm not sure if he's 12-0. He's going to win the Heisman type, and I'm seeing a little bit too much of that. It's a little bit of the Sam Hartman thing again.
Yeah, going back to your last point, Tyler. And Tim, we'll go to you a second. That I was like, I mean, come on, like your point about the Sun Bowl. This might be Sam. Like, let's be honest. There's a world where Sam Hartman never plays a snap in the NFL in Stanford's last game. So like, from what I was hearing behind the scenes, like there was a real struggle for Hartman whether he was going to play in this bowl game or not. With that element kind of in mind of, okay. I can tell you guys that he was struggling with it. I would assume that that was the reason. Like, I might not, play in the NFL.
If Stanford was his last game, I'll just say this before we give it back to Tim. His last pass ever was a 45-yard touchdown to Jordan Faison. I know he was wide open, but he put it right on the money, and he can always hang his hat on that.
All right, before we go to Tim, though, your point about the Hartman social media thing, this is where I went. All right, so I just pulled up our Blue and Gold Instagram account. Here's a nice little tweet graphic of Tyler Horka. You guys can see at the bottom of the screen, 3,600 likes. That's a really good post for us at our Blue and Gold Instagram page. Please give us a follow. Here's one. Some pictures of Deuce Knight, 400 likes, solid. Sam Hartman on the cover, Louisville game, 457 likes, cool. 261 likes there. How about this photo? Or I'm sorry, this video of the Sam Hartman hair flip for the people. I think you took this video, Tyler. 8,000. Yeah, this video popped off. One of my good friends here locally, she loves Sam Hartman. This is the only year she's ever been interested in my line of work is because Sam Hartman. She's like, hey, your video of Sam Hartman.
That's what Tim is exhausted about, though. Look at him laughing. This is what he's like.
Hey, I'm laughing.
I do. It's too funny. It's too funny.
Hold on. There's a student at the school I work at. You know, she knows I do Notre Dame stuff and all that. And she, you know, she's seen the podcast. Oh my God, she loves Sam Hartman. And I'm just like, I don't want to hear it. I don't want to hear it. I'm done. He threw three picks today. I don't give a damn.
So yeah, your guys' responses to what I'm saying is we're tired. I get it. All right. If that's it, that's fine. I get it. But Tim, we'll go back to you as promised.
It was just the Heisman hype. I just wanted to just say real quick, the reason why I think so much of the Heisman hype with Hartman and now Riley Leonard, because Riley Leonard has legitimate NFL talk about him out there in those NFL circles, is just, man, it's just a starving fan base. And I think you guys know that. It is like dying for someone to just be a dude who goes to New York City. You know, it's like it wants someone, and they wanted Sam Hartman so damn bad because they watched Wake Forest. They're like, well, it's Wake Forest. Why can't we throw, you know, all these bombs away passes? We're Notre Dame. He didn't have some of those wide receivers that could do some of that bombs away stuff. And that was a little bit of reality as the season got going. But I think that was what the fan base was seeing, was all the crazy Sam Hartman stuff. And it didn't happen. And now it's Riley Leonard. Riley's our guy. Yeah. Completely different quarterback than Sam Hartman. So that's going to be, I think it's going to be a fun thing to see. He's totally different than Hartman. I think it's going to be a lot more fun to cover his game. Because Hartman was just limited in what he could do and things of that nature. So I think the fan bases are going to go crazy for Riley Leonard. But as you know, Tyler Horka, if you start 0-1 on the road in Aggieville, yeah, you could kiss all that Heisman and all that stuff gone. So it's going to be a one-game season to start next year.
It's just funny, the same people who were yelling at Goolsby for the anti-Hartman take are the same people who are just like, oh, come on, like we'll move on from Hartman. It's just like, you know, got switched up real quick. You guys are done with Hartman, but before, you know, he was everything. The Heisman thing, like, listen, if Notre Dame was going to go undefeated, or even a one loss team and win two or three of the big games, two of three, then I think he was going to get invited. That you know, that was kind of the thought there.
But heck, Ian Book was in the top 10. I mean, Notre Dame went undefeated. You know, they're 10-0. You're Ian Book's in the top 10. So if Riley Leonard comes out, beats A&M, yeah, the hype's going to be real. If he loses to A&M, you'll never hear his name the rest of the season.
Anything else on Mr. Hartman? The last time his name will ever be discussed on our Blue and Gold YouTube channel.
I got a feeling that ain't true.
Yeah, I know.
But look, I'm not trying to diss on the guy. The last thing that you said,
I don't think you did at all, Tyler. I don't think you did.
Okay, but I didn't want to be lumped into that group that was getting mad at Goolsby and now saying the same things as Goolsby, where we're just
Hartman off to
the side. I'm not one of those, but you got to, like, Mike, you started this conversation off by saying, let's take the Sun Bowl for what it is. And right now, what it is, given the circumstances of both rosters, it's a little bit of a tryout for both teams. It's a little bit of a springboard into 2024, and Sam Hartman would be springboarding into what? If I'm a Notre Dame fan, it would have been nice for – you look at Sam Hartman last year. He won the Gasparilla Bowl versus Missouri. There's still photos circulating of him with the You know that beard? I know, what is he sponsored by? Dollar Shave Club or whatever? He's got all the products for that thing, and it looked good on the stage, and he's holding up a trophy. He could have had that moment at Notre Dame. I get it. But it would have been in El Paso, like I was saying, against an Oregon State team that's not starting all of its guys. And right now, if I'm a Notre Dame fan, I'm thank you, Sam. He tried his darndest to win all of those games. Should have beat Ohio State. The three interceptions against Louisville, you don't win that way. You don't win by throwing a pick six at Clemson. This could have already been a 10-win Notre Dame team, though. At this point, it's not his job to do it in the bowl game. I think Steve Angeli can beat this Oregon State team. And if you're a Notre Dame fan that's saying, hey, the one objective left in terms of the confines of the 2023 season is to win 10 games, Steve Angeli could do that for you against Ben Gulbranson. I know he can. So just go do it. And you know what? You got those 10 wins. Everybody's happy for New Year's.
Yeah. I still will just go back to, if you're going to say something like, man, I want my kids to go here. Like this place is just the best thing ever. Like I really thought like he regretted even going to Wake. Like he would have, if he could do it all over again, he would walk on to the Notre Dame football team back in, you know, 2011 or whatever it was when he was a, you know, a high school recruit. Cause I think he's coming up on, you know, being 35 years old or something, but, you know, I just think for that guy, I would have assumed that he would want to play in the bowl game and hoist that trophy, but
I'm 10 surprised. Years are we even going to remember that Sam Hartman opted out of the Sun Bowl in 10 years? Or are we just going to remember?
Oh, you damn else? Well know that I'll remember. I don't know
if I will. It's not going to be front of mind. That's for sure. Like Kyron Williams and Kyle Hamilton opting out already. That's already like, I don't really care. Look how good they are in the NFL. That's what they were thinking about at that time. And
it's Sam Hartman, you think think Sam Hartman's?
No, that's a different conversation. No. It's not about that with him.
There you go.
I'm just saying, I've already forgotten about Kyron Williams and Kyle Hamilton opting out of that game.
Yeah.
Would they maybe have won that? I mean, it was a 2-point game, and they were winning by 20 points in the first quarter.
They win that game. Yes. They win that game if Kyron Williams is playing. That's a given. But
All right. We have one other topic to discuss in today's show, and this was an interesting one that our group chat of Blue and Gold staffers was discussing, Tyler. This graphic of 2023 AP All-America team, first and second teamers, right, by school. So Bama had 5. That was the most in the country. How about Notre Dame had 4 and Georgia had 4? That was tied for second most. And our colleague Jack Sobel tweeted, 8 teams placed 3 or more players on the 2 AP All-America teams. Only one, and that was Notre Dame, did not win 10 or more regular season games this season. And I asked you this, Tyron, we were texting about it. Like, what does this tell you? So I'm going to ask you on air, on the record. You see this, all of those teams with 3 or more players on the 2022 AP All-America team, first or second, had 10 wins except for Notre Dame, which has 9. Does that tell you anything? Or is that kind of like, BFD, bro?
Well, absolutely. It tells you something. This was an underachieving Notre Dame football team. And now there's offshoots and subsets of that. You have to ask yourself, why was this an underachieving Notre Dame football team? And I start at the top. I think it's coaching. If you've got the number one pass efficiency defense in college football, led by a couple of corners, because I still think, regardless of what Xavier Watts did with winning the Nagurski Trophy, leading the FBS with 7 interceptions. Like, he was poster child this year, but without those corners, you don't have the number one pass efficiency defense in the country. But you had those corners, you had Watts, so you were number one. And then you've got Howard Cross. I think Javonte Jean-Baptiste had an excellent season. Like, the defensive line was great outside of not generating enough pass rush with Viper. It all adds up to a top 10 defense in college football, I would say. And usually if you have a top 10 defense in college football, you're making a playoff push. Notre Dame didn't make a playoff push. Why? The offense stunk it up in the big games. And I think that had a lot to do with scheme. Tim's mentioned it. And I mean, it almost goes without saying at this point. It had a lot to do with not a lot of great wide receiver play. I mean, that's for one. But look, there are 4 first team All America guys there for Notre Dame. And I think it's two from each side of the ball, right? Or first or second team, because it's Joe Alt, it's Audric Estime, and then it's Howard Cross and Xavier Watts. So that's a balanced football team. You've got one of the best running backs in college football. You've got the best offensive tackle in college football. And yet you're sitting there with three losses, and you're the only team with three or more, right? Was the stat the only team with three or more first or second team AP All-Americans with three losses? I mean, that's underachieving. And I think it starts at the top, because I'll hand it to Tim now. Who else are you going to blame? You're not going to blame the players. The players are the one that are on this chart. You got four All-Americans. So I think you've got to blame the coaching.
Yeah, and that, you know, when you talk coaching, that's just, I mean, they were horrible on the road. Let's be honest. They're craps this year on the road, you know, outside of, you know, I know NC State, but people forget that NC State game was like 24-17 with like 7-8 minutes to go. And NC State had the ball with a chance to tie, and then all hell broke loose and Notre Dame just blew it out of the water. But even in that game, remember, you have six touchdowns, but 6 3-and-outs. It's something I've never even seen in a game before. So that was wild. But no, it was a good football team. It was a really good Notre Dame football team. It wasn't a bad one. It wasn't a great one. It was a good, solid football team that was bad on the road. Bad quarterback play on the road. Wide receivers just hurt them, man. It really did. I mean, you go into Ohio State and you have Thomas and Greathouser 1 and 2, and then they're kind of just non-existent the rest of the season, which those two guys were really playing good football. And then basically after those two guys got dinged up in that game and moving forward, the offense turned into 2022. You know, you got Mitch Evans turns into Michael Mayer, and the whole offense is evolving around a darn tight end again. So that's what happened at tail end of the year. But just real quick on the All-Americans, you got four different dudes, which is pretty cool. You got, and you know, we always hear the word develop and all that. You got four guys that were developed at Notre Dame. You got a fifth-year senior who was just a, you know, I don't want to say a low-end recruit, but he was a national recruit guy in Howard Cross. You got Xavier Watts, has played 12 positions at Notre Dame, for crying out loud. He came in there as the beat a wide receiver, NFL wide receiver, and look at him, as we've said 100 times. And then Joe Alt shows up. I mean, we're talking about Kirby Lambert, not you know, can he play as a true freshman? Alt shows up in the summer, and they like him, but we're going to redshirt you this year. Ends up playing tight end. I'll never forget texting Mike Singer on Kyron Williams' 50-yard touchdown run against Purdue in 21. I was like, dude, you see 45 out there? That's Joe Alt blocking as a tight end. All of a sudden, he jumps in, and halftime is Cincinnati. Baker, Carmody, all those guys are dinged up, injured. Fisher's out, and they throw Joe Alt in at halftime against Cincinnati. The guy never left the field in the next 2.5 years. So kudos to him, and same with Estime. Estime is a guy who just redshirted, did nothing. Diggs got all the carries as a freshman, remember? And now Estime is going to the NFL. I want to say he's the first All-American since Reggie Brooks in 92. I don't remember Adams getting this high up. I don't think he was. Kyron never was an All-American. Julius Jones had a great 2003, but the team was 5-7. He didn't get All-American. Audrey Dedson was, I want to say, 1992, and Brooks was a top five Heisman finalist, as Notre Dame had a guy this highly ranked on the All-American teams as a running back. So kudos to those four guys. 9-3. It's going back to the Sam. I mean, I hate to say it, guys, but it's the Sam Hartman thing. It was a frustrating season. You're going to the damn Sun Bowl. I mean, that's what stinks.
Cool. I'll have my cowboy boots on for that one, though. We're going down to El Paso. I'm from Texas.
Yeah.
I'll take a picture. I'll send it to you, Mike. Cowboy boots. Thinking about cowboy hat, bolo tie even. I might as well go all out. At the game, in the press box, if Sam Hartman's not going to go all out or even play, and you're sending me down there, I'll put on the boots, cowboy hat, bolo tie. I'll represent.
I was going to say, man, you're throwing some shade at El Paso, man. I hope the bowl organizer people are not listening, or just the people of El Paso. Yeah. But you're one of them. You're a Texas guy.
It's not my job to pump up El Paso. I'm a Dallas guy, Dallas-Fort Worth through and through. I'm from Texas. Lived there 22 of my 28 years, never been to El Paso. So this is a first for me. The state's that big, too. If you're from Dallas, you don't go to El Paso.
Sister-in-law just moved to Fort Worth. So,
okay.
I'll hit Tyler, you up if you need any recommendations on the area.
Off of that, Tyler, when are you – do you guys know, is the press when the team going out? I mean, when are you heading out for, you know, the bowl game festivities with Tony the Tiger and those guys?
Yeah, I hope I get a photo with Tony the Tiger. He's got to be there, right? There's got to be a Tony the Tiger mascot.
Oh, he'll be there.
Screw the Pop-Tart thing that you can eat or whatever. I want a photo with Tony the Tiger. I think the team actually gets there on Christmas, I want to say. Maybe even Christmas Eve, one of those 2 days. I'm going down. I'll already be in Dallas for Christmas, but not going to be drinking too much eggnog Christmas night because I got a 7 a.m. flight to El Paso out of Dallas on the 26th. And there is a coordinator availability at 10 a.m. at the media hotel on the 26th. I'll be at that. We get to watch practice on the 26th. So excited for that. Mike, I will not forget the camcorder. We will have practice.
Thank you.
And then there's a couple more availabilities leading into the game on the 29th. So I'll actually be there for four nights, better part of 5 days. So, yeah, I'm getting the most out of El Paso. I may come back on one of these videos, you know, in 2024 after the new year and retract everything, all the shade that I threw at El Paso in this video. I'll say it's a lovely city this time of year, maybe. And especially if Notre Dame goes down there and gets a victory. And I guarantee you that Sun Bowl is going to be painted blue and gold because, I mean, and maybe Oregon State has a little bit of – Oregon State's playing against Notre Dame. I think that's why you see a lot of the – who is it, Brett McMurphy that tweeted out spike in ticket demand? Like, I think part of that is probably Oregon State sitting there saying, we get to play Notre Dame. It's funny how that works. Notre Dame's sitting there thinking – I really don't want to go down there for this, but Oregon State's, I mean, everybody wants to beat Notre Dame, right, Tim? You've lived it long enough to know that. So,
yeah,
but I think there will be a lot of Notre Dame fans.
Yeah, I think what the ticket prices, what was that tweet? Hiked up 170%, but Notre Dame sold out. I mean, they sold out in a heartbeat. So I think Notre Dame fans like getting away. So I think they're going to go down to Texas and root on the team. I really do.
All right, Mrs. Super Chat from earlier before we sign off. Just one ND gal, $10. She said, odds that Sam was asked to step down so Angeli can play because, you know, so out of character. Not to my knowledge. I do not think that this happened. I think it was very much Sam's decision. Could Sam have said, I want to step down and opt out to let Angeli start? I don't know. You'd have to ask
Sam. Hey, you're looking for a Sam Hartman loves Notre Dame so much angle. There it is. He loves Notre Dame so much. He's giving Angeli his first career start so we can know more about him heading into 2024.
I think I said that last week or the week before. I'm like, man, Sam can do no wrong. Like, we're making excuses for the guy no matter what. Or maybe not excuses, but just kind of like reasons or trying to defend him. But
yeah,
I don't know. You guys got to remember that the Goolsby show all throughout the fall. I mean, I'm like, dude, Goolsby, what are you talking about? This, you know, getting on Sam's ass so much like this. Like, get the guy a break. And I guess I've come to the dark side on it a little bit. I don't know. But there you go. There you go. So 10 p.m., Tim, let's get you to bed, my friend. Tyler, appreciate you joining us. I got an early morning tomorrow myself. So we're going to sign off there after an hour and a half talking some Notre Dame football and maybe my last Sam Hartman rant. So there you go. There you go. Agreement, boys? Last Sam Hartman rant on the show?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I mean, if we bring him up, there'll be context of comparing him to whatever in the future. But, yeah. No, his time is come and gone. I'm excited for the Sun Bowl. I'm excited to see so many really, really good young football players. I think we're going to see a lot of them playing. It's only going to be a handful of the older guys out there, but this is going to be a small little precursor going into winter conditioning in the spring. A ton of these guys are going to be playing coming back next year. So it's going to be a good little football game to get us ready for 2024. I know Riley Leonard's coming in to be the quarterback, but this is huge for Angeli to go out there, kick some butt. Hopefully, hey, Tyler Buchner was gone for 112 days. He came back, was the bowl game. It'd be awesome if Angeli could do this to get some momentum, because that number two quarterback race is going to be wild. And that's, heck, we haven't even mentioned, you know, CJ Card's going to be practicing. What is any the 16th, 17th? Right, you guys? So
yeah,
he's going to be in the mix, at least practice, but getting him ready for spring ball. So we're going to have some fun conversations coming up.
All right, and we'll do it right here on our Blue and Gold YouTube page, as well as blueandgold.com. Head over to the website, use the promo code UND1 if you're a new subscriber, and that will be just a dollar out of your pocket, and that'll get you access for 2 months, so through mid-February. That's a heck of a deal for $1. Break that down in cents per day. You're getting a heck of a deal there. So good little way to check out blueandgold.com if you enjoy these shows and the podcast. Blueandgold.com is like that on steroids, so check it out. Signing off for Tyler Horka and Tim Hyde, I'm Mike Singer. Appreciate you all for watching. Hit that thumbs up, and as always, we will catch you next time.